This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Deacon Jeff Kiskerno and is entitled Essential Prayer.
Yesterday, January 1st, countless individuals did something many of us have done and probably many times. We made a New Year's resolution. That is, we resolved to change something in our lives, most likely to improve in some way. I think it is fair to comment that many of these resolutions may never be realized. I thought that this would be a good time to take note of something else, especially for followers of Christ, and that is prayer, our prayer life. You may be saying to yourself, Jeff, I've heard dozens and dozens of sermons on prayer. To that I say, fair enough. But as we start this new year and considering all that is going on in the world, let's explore some things about prayer and see if there is something, some small thing that we can do to improve our prayer life and at least see it in the appropriate perspective. Today's sermon is entitled Essential Prayer. We hear and we use the word prayer often and in many ways. You may be talking with someone going through a trying time, and they will ask you to please pray for me, or please pray that, whatever that may be. We hear a public figure. Many times it may be a politician or a well-known individual, whether a believer or a non-believer, make a statement about praying for a group of people who are in a desperate situation. It could be some natural disaster or occurrence like that. Then there are times when we tell someone we are going to pray for them for a specific reason, and only the individual who makes these comments about praying for someone knows their sincerity and seriousness about carrying it out. For the Christian, prayer is our primary way in which we communicate with our Heavenly Father. This morning we will discuss how we should pray. Martin Luther said this, and I quote, "To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing." Pretty interesting words. We simply cannot have any relationship with God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit if we are not praying. Impossible. As Martin Luther said, we cannot have a relationship with God if we are not speaking with Him. The same goes for any earthly relationship. So prayer is essential not only to be a Christian, but to grow and flourish as a Christian. James 5:16 tells us this, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." There are two words here that we need to define further, and that is effectual and fervent. Effectual means to produce or able to produce a desired result or effect or change. Fervent, very hot, having or showing great warmth or intensity of spirit, feeling, enthusiasm. So this kind of prayer is one that desires a specific result or change and is done with intense passion. How often are we praying like this? So let's begin by talking about how should we pray. The disciples asked Jesus how they should pray. Here is what he taught them. Luke 11:1 says this, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples." Go back to Matthew 6:9-13, and here's what Jesus said to them. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." So we should begin with praise. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We should, Psalm 96:1, I'm going to read Psalm 96:1 to you. Just as an example of how we should be thinking when we talk about praising the Lord. And I'm going to read the entire chapter, Psalm 96, 1. Oh, sing on to the Lord a new song. Sing on to the Lord all the earth. Sing on to the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give on to the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give on to the Lord glory and strength. Give on to the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. I just want to stop there. I remember growing up in this church, the choir, the church choir, singing that song, O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Like it was sung yesterday, I remember it well. Say among the heathen, and this is verse 10, that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. I wanted to read that to you because that's just an example of some of the thoughts that we might have when we give praise to our Heavenly Father, which is what hallowed be thy name is telling us to do. We should exhibit an attitude of submission. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We should ask for our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Note that Jesus says daily bread, just as manna was provided for the Israelites daily. We're not to plan so far ahead, and there's other scripture that reminds us about this, that we're not supposed to say that we're going to do this and that way down the road, but that we should live with our mind on the present. As some people say from time to time, we will see you next Sunday, Lord willing. We should ask for forgiveness. We should seek pardon. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We should ask for guidance and deliverance from temptation and sin. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above all that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. We should acknowledge God's power and glory. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. A reminder about this model prayer. It is not a prayer to be prayed by repeating word for word every day. We do say this from time to time. When we have communion, we repeat the Lord's Prayer. But it is not something that should become a ritual. It is a perfect prayer. And why is it perfect? Because Jesus told his disciples, as an example, this is how that they should pray, because they asked to be taught how to pray, as we just went through. This is a God-centered prayer. We come to him empty, asking for these things to get us through another day, every day. This is pleasing to God when we pray this way, and it is short, and it is simple. Let's add some of Christ's instructions to this. Let's go back to verses 5 through 8 in Matthew chapter 6. And of course, this is all part of the Sermon on the Mount. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Verse 7, but when ye pray, Use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. And that's what he means by vain repetitions, much speaking. The Gentiles of the day thought that by saying a lot of stuff that they could be heard. Not so. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye need of before ye ask him. He knows what our needs are. So we don't need to say over and over again and keep asking over and over again. Sometimes we get caught up in that. How often should we pray? There's no limit to how often. In fact, in Thessalonians 5:17, Paul tells us, pray without ceasing. Three words, pray without ceasing. I don't know, that's something as we take inventory about our own individual prayer life. How often are we praying? Is it once a day? Is it at the end of the day, the middle of the day? Do we pray at all, or only when it's convenient, or only when we have a request that we want to make to the Lord? We should pray without ceasing. And I think the Bible references many times that prayer should begin as we start our day, maybe even before your feet hit the floor, that we should begin our day with prayer for guidance, as we said earlier. Let's seek the Lord for guidance for the start of the day before we even begin, or we're kind of on our own, right? We should pray with perseverance. Ephesians 6:10-18 tells us this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. A couple words here we want to focus in on again. It says to pray with all perseverance and supplication. Perseverance means steadfastness, and I love that word, and it only appears just a few times in the Bible. Steadfastness. In doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. Let me read that again. Perseverance. Steadfastness in doing something despite difficulty or delaying in achieving success. We shouldn't give up. And supplication, the act of asking or begging for something earnestly or humbly. So we are to do it with steadfastness and earnestly and humbly. And this verse of scripture that we just read here talks about dressing in the armor to withstand what's going on in all the world. And there are some people that may pray every day, going through this step by step, actually prayerfully dressing with the armor so we can withstand what we are to face each and every day. Next, where should we pray? Well, we can pray anywhere. I like to take the time when I first get in my car in the morning. It's a time when I'm alone, and it's a chance where I can get focused on what is going on around the world and in my family and also in our church. Let me say this, with all the noise and all the distractions in our world, both big and small, loud or quiet, would it not be better if we tried to find a quiet place to communicate with our Heavenly Father? and do it in a consistent, daily manner. The same can be said with our devotions. We're talking about our prayer life today, but that goes hand in hand with the study of God's Word. Have you ever found yourself trying to concentrate on doing something or reading something and couldn't concentrate because of all the noise and commotion in the room or nearby? We probably would ask for someone to tone it down so we could concentrate. Prayer is serious, and as is reading God's Word. So we really need to find that quiet time, that quiet space. Scripture said about entering into your closet. There may be something that some people that literally do that. But whether it's a room, a closet, you may find a position of prayer, be it kneeling, be it prone position. And I just would ask, has anyone ever been in that time in their life when they were facing such anxious times where you literally got down on the floor, face first, and just ask God to give you guidance and intervene? I would suggest or submit that there may have been many of us that have done that from time to time. That is submission. And that's literally putting ourselves in a position where we're just asking God. And it's all about attitude. We're going to talk about that next. Because prayer is so important, essential in fact, should we not try and show our sincerity when we offer praise and then ask for the things for the things of others that and their needs? We have to remember that this is such a privilege. We are praying to the Creator of the universe with no intercessor required. At any moment's notice, we can go to our Heavenly Father. Again, I say, the Creator of the universe, and ask Him for the things that we need. That's a privilege that we really have to stop and think about. And we have to do it on a regular basis. So, segue into what should our attitude be about prayer? Well, we should be sincere. We should remember the holy, sovereign, omnipotent, omniscient God we are speaking to, and what a privilege we have been given. We should be still. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." And we should listen. I'm going to read 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 12. Listen intently about this. I don't know that I have to set this up too much, other than this is about Elijah. And he's about to receive some payback for some of the things that he had done. So, 1 Kings 19, verses 1 through 12. "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, 'So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this same time.'" So within one day, she is pledging to catch up with Elijah and make his life miserable, if not come to an end. "And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there." Verse 4. "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, 'It is enough now. O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's.'" Verse 5. "And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, 'Arise and eat.' And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals with a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again." Verse 7. "And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, 'Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee.' And he arose, and he did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights into Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, And he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I, only am left. And they seek my life to take it away. Verse 11. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. We should be strong and unwavering in our faith. And before I go forward, I just want to go back and say, all that Elijah was looking for through the wind and the fire and the stones breaking, looking to hear from the Lord. But that's not how he heard him, did he? It was through a still small voice. So if we are not being still, if we're not intent on listening, see, we can pray and we can ask the Lord for his intervention and for his guidance. But if we just stop there and just go on about our life with all the noise and commotion that's going to all immediately come back in as soon as we leave that quiet place, we're not going to be able to hear his voice. And we don't know how he's going to speak to us, whether it is through his word, whether it's through some thought, or whether it's through somebody else that we come in contact with, especially when we are seeking something that is extremely important to us. We should be strong and unwavering in our faith. James 1, verses 5 through 7 says this, If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. And upbraideth is to criticize severely. So let me go back and read that again, having given you that definition. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So here James is telling us, as we pray, we are not to pray with doubt. We are to pray in faith. I think it's probably a good thing as we think about our prayer life, and again, for each of us individually, as we take an account, that it's good to ask the Lord to help us walk by faith, because that is exactly how we should pray. Unwavering, we have to pray with confidence, believing that the Lord is going to give us guidance. And I'm going to read something in a moment that will remind you about this. We need to prepare to hear God's answer. And if not at that moment, be in the proper listening frame of mind with intent and passion. And one last thought. I read a devotion, I think it's been a couple years ago, that someone had mentioned, I think I heard on one of the radio, pastors on the radio, talking about writing down our prayers, keeping a prayer journal. And that is something that maybe someone wants to try, because when you write those prayers down, especially when you're in that valley, sometime in the future, when you've come up on the other side, to go back and remember that time, how the Lord brought you through that difficulty. Prayer, it is essential. It is something we must be consistent with and always attempting to improve upon in our life as a Christian. It is how we communicate with our Heavenly Father. I'll end with a few quotes. And as I said, there's a couple of reminders in here of some of the things that we just went through. And every one of these, as best that I could determine, is from an anonymous source. Quote, God understands our prayers even when we can't find the words to say them. Quote, prayer, the world's greatest wireless connection, something we can certainly be in tune with today, because almost everything we do is wireless In fact, this microphone that I'm speaking to you through is wireless. Quote, God always answers our prayer. Listen to this one. Either he changes the circumstances or he supplies sufficient power to overcome them. And lastly, no matter how alone you think you are, God is always just a prayer away. So, let's close in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful this morning that you've given us the privilege of prayer, that we can communicate with you directly at any moment, at any time of any day. Forgive us if we take that privilege for granted. And Lord, as we begin this new year, as many people will have resolutions, maybe some of us had or gave ourselves a resolution, resolve to do something, whether it comes to fruition or not, let us do this. Let us resolve to be more consistent in our prayer life, to be more passionate in our attitude about our prayer. It is such a powerful thing. And let us pray not only with passion, but as we pray for each other and be reminded to pray for each other, not just on Sunday mornings, but during the week, to pray for our families, to pray for others, and then to pray for ourselves. Because if we have not, it's because we ask not. Let us resolve to do a better job in our prayer time, to take that time and then be intent to listen, to wait, to be still, to hear your voice. Such a privilege. We have the ability to talk to you, our Heavenly Father. And so, Lord, as we start this new year, we pray for all those who are going through a tough time this morning. Let us resolve to keep all our family, church family, in prayer this morning and in the week ahead, the days ahead. And again, Lord, help us to walk by faith and not by sight. And Lord, as we come out of this Christmas season, as we celebrated Christ's birth, we are looking forward to the cross and what Christ did for us at Calvary. Let us always keep that in focus, because it's always in Christ's name that we ask these things, and through the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.